All right, so today we're going to dive into a case, and it's a pretty fascinating one, if you ask me. It deals with some pretty tricky stuff, you know, about suing the government.
Yeah, this is one of those areas of the law that can be super confusing. I mean, we're talking about governmental immunity and how it can really trip people up.
Exactly. And that's exactly why we're going to break down this particular case today. It's called We Care Child Center, Inc. v. Lumpkin. And it landed in the Sixth Circuit back in 2012.
Yeah, We Care is like a textbook example of what can go wrong when, well, when you're going up against the government in court.
It really highlights those hurdles you were just talking about, those potential pitfalls that people might not even realize are there.
Oh, absolutely. And for our listeners who are law students, you know, those just starting out on their legal journey, it's a case that really emphasizes the importance of understanding, like the finer points of procedure and jurisdiction. Those things can make or break your case.
So true. So before we get too deep into the legal weeds, let's give everyone a little background on what We Care Child Center was all about.
Sure. So We Care was this daycare center in Ohio. They were serving low-income families, and they were doing it mainly through these state contracts.
Ah, so they were relying on government funding to operate.
Yeah, pretty heavily. Their funding was primarily coming from those state contracts that were being administered by the Franklin County Department of Job and Family Services. We usually just call them FCDJFS.
Okay, FCDJFS. Got it. Mm-hmm. So what happened? Something must have gone wrong for them to end up in court.
Yeah. So between 2005 and 2006, they started having some serious issues with the state.
What kind of issues?
Well, there were these allegations of inadequate safety at the daycare center.
Oh, that's never good.
Right. And based on those allegations, the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, or ODJFS, they decided not to renew WeCare's license.
Whoa. So the state was basically saying they couldn't operate anymore.
Pretty much. And when the state made that move, it set off this chain reaction. The county, that FCDJFS we were talking about, they followed suit. They said, okay, if the state's not renewing their license, we're discontinuing their funding, specifically their Title XX funding.
And I'm assuming that Title XX funding was pretty crucial for WeCare.
Oh, absolutely. It was the lifeblood of their operation, especially for the services they were providing to those low-income families.
So what happened to WeCare after they lost their license and all that funding?
It was pretty devastating, honestly. I mean, they lost over 90% of their revenue almost overnight. Their business just became completely unsustainable.
If they had to close down.
Yeah, they were forced to shut their doors in March of 2007. It was a direct result of those government actions.
Wow, so you can understand why they'd want to fight back, right? I mean, it seems like the government's decisions directly put them out of business.
Yeah, you'd think there would be some sort of straightforward legal remedy in a situation like that, but as this case shows, it's rarely that simple.
So what did WeCare do? They didn't just accept it, did they?
No, they definitely didn't. They decided to sue. They filed a lawsuit in federal district court, and they named everyone they thought was responsible. State agencies, county officials, even individual employees in those agencies. All in their official capacities, of course.
And what were their main arguments? What were they claiming the government had done wrong?
Well, they had two main legal claims. First, they alleged antitrust violations. They were basically saying that Ohio and the county were illegally restraining trade by cutting off their funding and refusing to renew their license.
Okay, I can see how that argument makes sense on the surface. It's like the government was preventing them from competing in the childcare market.
Exactly. But then their second claim was for something called tortious interference. Essentially, they were claiming that the government intentionally interfered with their business relationships, causing them to lose contracts and ultimately leading to their closure.
So two pretty distinct legal avenues. One focused on broader competition and the other more on specific damage to their business.
Precisely. And it's important to understand how both of these claims play into the broader concept of governmental immunity.
Right, because we know the government has certain protections that regular businesses or individuals don't.
Exactly. And the WeCare case really highlights how those protections can be a major hurdle for anyone trying to sue a government entity.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened in court. What was the district court's initial response to WeCare's lawsuit?
Well, the district court ended up dismissing all of their federal claims. They weren't convinced by WeCare's arguments. And that initial dismissal is a really key point in understanding why WeCare ultimately didn't succeed.
Okay, so the district court wasn't buying it, but WeCare wasn't done.
No, not at all. They decided to appeal the district court's decision, and that took them to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's where things get really interesting, legally speaking.
Right, because the Sixth Circuit had to delve into those key legal issues we were talking about. antitrust law, governmental immunity, and all that.
Absolutely. So let's start with those antitrust claims, the ones about Ohio and the county illegally restraining trade.
Okay, so WeCare was arguing that the government's actions were preventing them from competing fairly.
Exactly. But here's where a really important law comes into play. It's called the Local Government Antitrust Act, or LGAA for short. And this law was one of the main reasons the Sixth Circuit rejected WeCare's antitrust claims against the county.
Okay, so what does this LGAA do? What kind of protection does it give to local governments?
Well, in a nutshell, the LGAA protects local governments and their officials from having to pay money, like monetary damages, if they're sued for violating antitrust laws. But there's a catch. This protection only applies when they're acting in their official capacity.
Official capacity. That sounds like a pretty important distinction.
It is. Basically, it means that the government can't be held liable for antitrust violations if the actions they took were part of their normal duties, you know, the kind of things they're authorized to do as part of their official role.
So how did the Sixth Circuit apply this official capacity standard to what the county did in WeCare's case?
Well, they looked at the county's actions, specifically managing those Title XX funding contracts and making decisions about licensing, and they concluded that these actions were within the normal scope of the county's duties. It was basically part of their job to administer those funds and make sure daycare centers were meeting the necessary requirements.
So because those actions were considered part of their official role, the county was shielded from liability, even if those actions had anti-competitive effects.
Exactly. And here's the really crucial part. The court said it didn't even matter whether the county intended to harm competition or not. The LGA immunity could still apply regardless of their intent.
Wow. So even if WeCare could have proven that the county had some ulterior motive, some desire to stifle competition, it wouldn't have mattered under this law.
That's right. That LGA protection is pretty powerful.
Okay, so the LGAA was a major obstacle for WeCare's antitrust claims against the county. But there was another reason those claims didn't succeed, right? Something about how antitrust law works in general.
You got it. The Sixth Circuit also pointed out that antitrust law, specifically the Sherman Act, which is what WeCare was relying on, it's really concerned with harm to the entire market, not just harm to one particular business.
So it's not enough to just show that your individual business was harmed. You have to demonstrate that the government's actions hurt competition more broadly.
Exactly. And in WeCare's case, the court said they hadn't shown that the county's actions had a negative impact on the overall childcare market in Ohio. They only really focused on how their own daycare center was affected.
So they needed to show that the county's decisions somehow reduced choices or raised prices for consumers of childcare services across a wider area.
Precisely. They needed to demonstrate that there was less competition as a result of the county's actions, and they just didn't present enough evidence to support that broader claim.
Okay, so the antitrust claims ran into those two big roadblocks, the LGAA and the specific requirements of antitrust law itself. What about their other main claim, the one for tortious interference?
Ah, yes, that takes us into the world of sovereign immunity, which is a whole other layer of complexity, especially when you're dealing with the state government.
Right, because states have this special protection under the 11th Amendment, which basically prevents them from being sued in federal court unless they consent to it.
Exactly. And each state has its own specific rules about when it waives that sovereign immunity. And in Ohio, there's a really important rule found in their revised code, section 2743.02A1. This rule deals specifically with lawsuits filed in Ohio's Court of Claims.
Okay, what's so significant about this rule? How did it trip up WeCare?
Well, this rule basically says that if you sue the state of Ohio in its own court of claims, you automatically give up, you waive any claims you might have against individual state officers or employees for the same actions, even if you later try to sue them in federal court.
So even if you have different legal arguments for suing the state versus suing individual state employees, you can't do both if you start in the court of claims.
That's essentially it. And that's where WeCare made a crucial mistake. They had previously filed a separate lawsuit against the state in the Ohio Court of Claims. It's usually referred to as WeCare 3 in the legal documents.
Ah, so because they had already sued the state in that specific court, they were barred from later going after individual state employees in federal court for the same underlying conduct.
Exactly. And that's why their tortious interference claims against those individuals were ultimately dismissed. It was a procedural technicality that had huge consequences for their case.
That's a tough lesson to learn. It really underscores how important it is to understand all the procedural intricacies and potential traps before you file any lawsuit against a government entity.
Absolutely. And it highlights the need for strategic thinking about where you initially file your lawsuit and what claims you include. Those decisions can have major downstream effects.
So let's recap where we are. The antitrust claims against the county were dismissed because the LGAA and the specific requirements of antitrust law. And the tortious interference claims against state employees were tossed out because of that Ohio Court of Claims waiver rule. What about WeCare's remaining claim, the one for tortious interference, but against the state itself? Was that still on the table?
Well, that's where the concept of supplemental jurisdiction comes in. Once the district court dismissed all of WeCare's federal claims, they had the option to keep hearing that remaining state law claim, even though the federal issues were gone. But they also had the discretion to decline that supplemental jurisdiction and send the state law claim back to the state court system.
Okay, and what did the district court choose to do in this case?
They decided to dismiss the state law claim. They basically said, look, the federal claims that originally brought this case to us are gone. It makes more sense for the remaining state law claim to be heard in the state court system where it belongs.
Makes sense. Did WeCare appeal that decision too?
They sure did. They argued that the district court should have kept the state law claim, but the Sixth Circuit ultimately disagreed. They said the district court hadn't abused its discretion in dismissing it.
So in the end, WeCare's entire lawsuit was thrown out.
That's right. They faced multiple layers of legal obstacles, and ultimately, none of their claims survived.
Wow. So to sum it all up, their antitrust claims hit a wall because of the LGAA and the specific requirements of antitrust law regarding showing harm to the entire market. Then, their tortious interference claims were sunk by that Ohio Court of Claims waiver rule. And finally, the remaining state law claim was dismissed under the principle of supplemental jurisdiction.
You got it. It's a pretty comprehensive illustration of the challenges involved in suing governmental entities.
Let's circle back to those key legal tests and standards that played such a big role in this case. That LGAA official capacity standard seems particularly important for understanding how local governments are protected. Can you elaborate on how the court interpreted that standard?
Sure. Basically, the court said that actions are considered to be within an official's official capacity if those actions are something they're authorized to do as part of their job, you know, if it's within the scope of their normal duties and responsibilities.
So it doesn't really matter if they had some personal vendetta or some ulterior motive, as long as the action itself is something they're allowed to do in their official role.
Exactly. Their motivation is largely irrelevant under the LGAA. It's all about the nature of the action itself.
And in WeCare's case, the county's actions regarding funding and licensing were considered part of their regular job duties, so they were protected.
Exactly. And then there's that Ohio Court of Claims waiver rule. We've talked about how strict it is, but it's worth emphasizing just how broadly it applies.
Absolutely. It's not limited to specific legal claims. It's about waiving any and all claims related to the same underlying actions against individual state employees.
Right. By suing the state in the Court of Claims, you're essentially closing the door on any future lawsuits against those individuals in other courts, regardless of the specific legal theory you're using.
So for our law student listeners out there, what are the big takeaways from the WeCare case? What should they keep in mind as they move forward in their legal careers?
Well, first and foremost, I'd say this case is a huge reminder of the power of governmental immunity. Both local and state governments have significant protections that can make it incredibly difficult to sue them successfully.
Yeah, it's not a level playing field.
Nope. And second, I think it's a cautionary tale about antitrust claims against the government. You really have to be able to show harm to the entire market, not just to your individual business.
WeCare's experience really highlights that, right? They couldn't clear that hurdle.
Exactly. And finally, and this is perhaps the most practical takeaway, this case screams the importance of understanding procedure. You have to know the rules of the game, especially when you're going up against the government.
Yeah, those procedural pitfalls can be deadly.
Absolutely. So do your research, know the relevant laws, and make sure you have a solid strategy before you file that lawsuit.
This has been a really insightful deep dive into the WeCare case. It's a case that has a lot to teach us about the complexities of suing the government and the importance of understanding the legal landscape. Thanks for breaking it all down for us today.
My pleasure. It's a case that's definitely worth studying for anyone interested in this area of the law. And for those law students out there, it's a perfect example of why procedure matters, maybe even more than you realize.
Couldn't agree more. And for our listeners, we'd love to hear your thoughts. How do you think plaintiffs can navigate these complex immunity doctrines and procedural rules when challenging the government? Let us know, and maybe we'll revisit this topic in the future. Until then, keep those legal minds sharp.
And keep those procedures tight.
You got it.